Patriots Monday rolls on here. Boomer Esiason, our usual guest here on Monday mornings, joined us. Boomer, how are you?
I'm doing okay, guys. Good morning. It's going to be a rough day down here for the New York Jets head coach Todd Bowles, but I'm sure that's not really what you guys want to talk about today.
Will Bowles survive the day?
I don't know if he will or not. You know, he's a good guy. Everybody seems to like him over there at the New York Jets, and if they wanted to do him a favor, they should probably put him out of his misery because it is going to be loud, it is going to be ugly, and Jet fans basically have had enough of what they've seen.
Well, what would be the reason to keep him, Boomer, before we get into this Pats loss yesterday in Nashville? I think we've seen enough now where he is not going to be the guy going forward. So, you know, they can replace him, make the change now, get an offensive-minded guy for your guy, Sam Darnold, and reset the franchise a bit.
Well, that sounds easy, but it's hard to do, you know. And I don't necessarily know that they have a personality on the staff right now to assume head coaching responsibilities. I mean, there probably is somebody there that they could identify, but you know, I think the reality is this. They're going into their bye. You know, there is going to be a loud chorus of people that are going to want Todd Bowles' head. I hate talking about stuff like this because I know how hard it is for quality coaches to coach teams, especially, you know, when they're trying to break in a new quarterback and everything else. But when you lose at home to Matt Barkley and the Bills and you give up 41 points and you're down 31-3 at halftime in front of your home crowd, it is what it is. And everybody knows exactly what's going on here. So it is time to move on. I just hope, and I really don't want them to put him through it because, like I said, he is a good guy. He's got the respect of everybody in that locker room. Unfortunately, it didn't show itself yesterday on the field.
Yeah, but think of this, Boomer. They got a bye, and then they got the lowly New England Patriots coming to town. That's what cures all your ills. You get the Patriots at home. Whoever the coach is, it's got to be looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I would also say this is why the Patriots, you know, go to the playoffs every year because of the changeover and the inconsistencies of the other three franchises in their division. I mean, they just basically own these teams, and, you know, you got to fight through losses like yesterday down at Tennessee. But the Jets are a mess right now. There are a million questions. And even with Sam Darnold, I guess, here as the starting quarterback, most likely against New England when they retake the field, the question is, like, what coach is going to want to come here and coach in this fishbowl? I think it's got to be an offensive guy, and I think it's got to get, if it's not an offensive guy, then it's got to be somebody like a John Harbaugh if he and Baltimore decide to part ways this offseason. Mm-hmm. Somebody with some experience to stand on the sideline and to deal with the media.
Well, they may be facing a Patriots team, or the Patriots with a bye week right now themselves, and there were a bunch of these results yesterday, Boomer. This Jets-Bills game, obviously one of them, the Browns beating Atlanta. Patriots losing in Tennessee, the result is one thing. This was very reminiscent of that Lions game earlier in the year. They were really not competitive in the second half, and they got nothing going offensively against that Titans defense.
They got shut out in the second half. Not only was it reminiscent of the Lions game, it was also, I thought, really reminiscent of the early Jacksonville game, where, you know, Jacksonville came out throwing with Blake Bortles, and who could ever forget that Monday after that game because, you know, supposedly Blake Bortles had re-arrived as a starting quarterback in the NFL and basically stubbed his toe the rest of the way. So yesterday was a big day for Mike Vrabel and all those ex-Pats down there, and I'm sure there are a lot of smiles on their faces. But I said at halftime that I felt like the defensive line of the Tennessee Titans is really who are winning this game. I mean, they were getting all over Brady. Not only was he sacked three times, he was probably hit another seven or eight times. It was a pretty physical game for Tom, and I thought Stephon Gilmore had a hard first half. I thought Corey Davis, you know, basically took him apart and made some plays over the top of him. Now, there were reports that Gilmore was playing with a cold or maybe even the flu, so I don't know how that affected him. But nonetheless, the team basically got a little bit beat up, and I think it's a little bit of a wake-up call, and the bye couldn't come at a better time for the Patriots than right now.
Can you say this is how to beat New England, this is how to fluster Brady, pressure up the middle, get him off his spot? I mean, the Titans, are they that good that they could do it and, you know, no one else can? I mean, why was this so special?
Well, this is why I think it was reminiscent of the Jacksonville game. It was the same type of thing. You know, they got after Tom up the middle. They put a lot of pressure on him. Look, I think the Patriots at worst are 11-5, at best probably, you know, 12-4. And they're probably going to have to host a home playoff game, I'm assuming right now anyway, against a lowly number six seed, whoever that team may be. And it may be Tennessee, so they may see them again. Right now it's the Bengals, but they may see Tennessee again. But this time it will be at home, and I'm sure that the Patriots will take care of business. You know, for me, if in the AFC playoffs, If Kansas City keeps home field advantage, they're going to be really, really tough to beat in Kansas City. And, you know, they have a huge game next Monday night in Mexico City against the Rams. So we'll see how they fare against that team. And the Patriots really have two tough games left. And I'm sure Coach Belichick will kill me as I say this, but Minnesota and Pittsburgh left in there on their schedule. And then the other teams are all within their division who they should beat. So that's why I say 11 wins minimum, 12 wins I think is more likely, because I figure they'll probably either beat or split with Minnesota and Pittsburgh. But I think this comes down to the playoffs. Who is going to be able to go into Kansas City and knock off the Chiefs is the million-dollar question for me.
You're an expert on aging quarterbacks, Boomer. You are one. You know
well,
lots
used to
of
be
them.
One, yeah.
When it's all over for Brady, we joke all the time, playing forever or whatever. You know, when he reaches that, not cliff, but the end, what's it going to look like?
Probably be walking off with another Super Bowl MVP. That's right. What I think. I don't want him to quit, man. I enjoy watching him play. I enjoy watching him and Josh trying to figure things out. And he and Belichick have had this run. I don't want it to end yet. I don't know. I'm not a Patriot fan, but I do admire greatness when I see it. And I certainly admire consistency when I see it. So I'm not ready for them to quit yet. I want this thing to keep going. I mean, I hope Josh stays there for another couple of years. I hope Tom plays for another couple of years. And, you know, when you have games like yesterday, I mean, the reality is such that, yeah, he doesn't move around as much as he used to. But, and, you know, can he withstand the beating? I'm sure he's not going to be feeling great today. But I would say that beating, if it came at the right time, I would say now is the time because they do have the bye. But I still think he's going to go to another Super Bowl, maybe another two Super Bowls. And, you know, these hiccups along the way are just part of playing in the NFL these days.
It's interesting. We give Brady so much credit, Boomer, and you have rightfully so over the years, because the guy he throws to is the open guy. Well, yesterday he had 38 targets. 30 of them were to three separate guys, and Edelman, White, and Gordon. As going back to the aging quarterback thing, is that a signal that he was frustrated yesterday and was going back to, you know, all the things he knew, or is that just a sign that he was locked in on certain guys in a time where they were trying to get anything going offensively?
Well, you know, it would help if they had Gronk on the field. I'm not saying Gronk is what Gronk was 5 years ago, but when he's out there, he's a difference maker. He opens the field for everybody else. He throws the ball where guys are open. Now, I thought actually that not only the defensive line of the Titans played well yesterday, but so did their secondary. I mean, their secondary were right there next to their, intended receivers, knocking balls down. I mean, one-on-one battles you have to win. You have to win those battles, in hockey, and you got to win them in football. And last night, you got to give the Tennessee Titans all the credit in the world. And I don't think Belichick, Brady, or anybody else on that roster for the New England Patriots is going to do anything less than that. You know, they probably came off that field like, you know what, we just got our asses kicked. We got to get back to work. And thank goodness we got a bye to be able to heal up and get ready to go for a 6-game stretch here on the backside of the bye and keep home field advantage in at least one round of the playoffs.
I don't know if you were focused in on the play-by-play here, Boomer, in this game, but the Patriots ran this reverse quarterback pass to Brady.
I saw it, yep.
Brady stumbled, gained 6 yards. Then the Titans ran the same play. Obviously, their QB's a little younger, a little more athletic. He went for 21 yards. It was, you know, Vrabel smiled and says, we just want to, you know, prove we can do it better. Do you think something like that will piss off or did piss off Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
I would assume that it does. I will say this, that if you've been around Bill Belichick and the Patriots, you've worked there, you've played there, you know what it takes to win these games when you're going up against him and his team. So I would think that Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel probably have a little bit of the I guess the blueprint to do that. But I also know that internally, between those guys and between other guys, that whether it be Dean Pease, who is part of the Titans franchise, or anybody else that has been through there, Bill O'Brien, while they do respect and admire Bill Belichick to the nth degree and will be there for his Hall of Fame speech, I do believe that, you know, that inner competition or that behind-the-scenes competition between these guys is what really fuels the fire of the teams that win. So he brings the best out in everybody. He has given them a blueprint of how to run a franchise and how to run a football team. And unfortunately, twice this year, it's come back to haunt him.
Well, you mentioned the Chiefs, and I think people will start to look at that home field and it's slipping away potentially from the Patriots. What about the Steelers, Boomer? I mean, Thursday night, they put up 50. Defensively now, they're tied for the league in sacks. They're all of a sudden getting after the quarterback. They appear to me right there to me with Kansas City, because they can score and they can defend. And I'm not sure Kansas City has proven they can do that yet.
Well, and but the point being is that I still think that somebody's going to have to go into Kansas City and beat them. That's why I think that they'll stay with the number one seed. When you take a look at the Steelers' schedule, it is not easy. I mean, they still have to play, of course, the Patriots. They still have to play the Chargers, I believe. I'm trying to look at that. They have to go to the Broncos, which is not an easy game. They should win those games. They also have to go to the Saints. So there's still a lot of football left to be played for the Steelers as well. They have a very difficult schedule in the final 5 to 6 weeks. So I still think while they are good right now and they are coming alive, and Ben Roethlisberger may have had his best game as a pro last week, there's still a lot of football left to be played for them as well. They should win the AFC North. I think we all kind of feel that way. And depending, I guess, what happens with Le'Veon Bell, you know, either they go in with the team they have now or they get an extra boost if he decides to come back.
All right, but enough of this. Let's get to the important stuff. We get the New York tabloids up here, Boomer. We keep tabs on things down there. And
good.
We've been following all the feuds and the infighting at our sister station. As an Entercom guy up here, I don't approve of this. I don't like this at all. I don't know.
Yeah, you guys never get into
no.
any trouble
no,
or
no,
seem
no.
to have any problems
never
up there
happens
either,
up
so
here.
No worries
nope.
about you. Yep.
I assume two things. I want to ask about your afternoon host and
yes.
How you guys are getting along, but also your former partner. He got sentenced the other day, or got convicted the other day. He's going to get sentenced. We played your take, your monologue, essentially of about him. It was very well done. I know you guys were good friends. How long do you know more than we do? How long do you think Craig Carton is going away for?
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I actually talked to Craig on Friday, and I think reality is starting to set in. I didn't really talk to him much over the last 14 months. We played golf over the summer once. We were texting back and forth over a few things, but I finally had a long conversation with him on Friday. It is really, really sad. It's a sad gambling addiction that took him down. As I think I see it, it's like a 6 to 8 months run where he just basically found himself in a really bad spot, and that addiction just overtook him. So he's got to go through a pre-sentencing hearing where I think he's going to have to capitulate to everything he did and try to fall on the mercy of the court. I would imagine somewhere between 3 and 7 years, but then again, I don't really know truly the federal guidelines. I do not see him going to Leavenworth. He does have 4 kids. I would imagine that he'll either end up in New Jersey or Pennsylvania at a minimum security prison somewhere, and then he'll be out in maybe 2.5-3 years, hopefully. Keep your fingers crossed, and then he maybe can get back started again into doing what he does really well, and that's host a talk show. Where and when, I have no idea. So that part of it was tough last week, but, you know, oddly enough, on that same day or the day after that he was sentenced, then we came in here, was the same day that Mike Francesa somehow decided to try to make it all about himself. And that created another firestorm and also another distraction. So maybe the impact of Craig's sentence wasn't, for 4 hours. It was only for about 2.5 hours. And then the last hour and a half were the whole thing going on with my partner now, Greg Giannotti, and Mike Francesa, our afternoon guy. So it was interesting watching it and being a part of it, and certainly has garnered a lot of interest down here.
Well, I think you guys should learn to get along like we do up here.
You guys are like, you set the tone.
We have Christmas company Christmas party. We all sing songs. We couldn't get along better, but hey, I blame Francesa. It's all his fault.
Jerry, I could just say this. Everybody that I think works there actually works there. Everybody doesn't work. Some guys actually work at home and are allowed to work at home. So yeah. That's one of the problems. That's why it's so awkward. We never really get to see Big Mike here.
I just want to give you credit. You saw a fight in the street between your co-host and another co-host. You didn't break it up, Boomer. You let them fight it out like men in the streets of New York.
Yeah, I was hanging from my Uber, and I was just waiting to see what was going to happen, to see if anybody was going to throw any blows to each other. And oddly enough, that was Greg Giannotti and Chris Carlin, our midday guy, and those two guys are good friends. They've been good friends for like 15 years, and Chris didn't like one of the parodies that that Greg had done that morning and let him know, but they hugged it out afterwards, so I didn't have to get out of my Uber and get in the middle of it.
Well, stay out of trouble today, Boomer. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Look forward to it.
Thanks,
see
Boomer.
Ya.